We're going to enter into our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. So I invite you to come back into the sanctuary, and we will be opening our Bibles, and I encourage you to do just that. It was a wonderful week we had this past week, and if you hadn't had an opportunity, I do encourage you to check the back table. It was really sad a bunch of our friends couldn't come and join us today to celebrate the past week we had, but we truly did have a wonderful week this past week at Art Camp, and we really do want to thank all the volunteers that gave of themselves this past week and their time to just make all that happened last week possible, because we could not have done it without all of our wonderful volunteers, and so thank you for giving of your time and your talent to be here, to be present, and to make last week possible, especially those last-minute volunteers and those answered prayer volunteers, because I know that there were a couple of you that just kind of showed up at the last minute unexpected, and you were definitely answered prayers, and you know who you were. So thank you so much for coming and being those answered prayer volunteers. I remember looking at Jeanette, and we were praying for just that one more adult. This is, we were looking at the roster, and we had six other kids that just registered at the last minute. And I looked at Jeanette, and I'm like, gosh, if we just had one more adult, and you wouldn't believe it, but one more adult showed up. And, you know, God says, ask not, because you receive not because you ask not. And we prayed, God, we need one more adult. And he sent us one more adult. So thank you for being that last minute volunteer. We needed you dearly. And as the kids are upstairs today learning about being the light of the world, I wanted to expand upon Art Camp's final day's theme, because I feel most of us here today understand most of the themes of Art Camp that we had. I feel most of us understand that God created all things. Most of us here today grasp that understanding that, yes, God created. And then we also grasp that He created us. That He created us wonderfully unique. That we are uniquely made by Him, special, that each of us are different, and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I hope that we all grasp that He created salvation. Now, if you're here today and you do not, please come and talk with me, because I want to talk to you about that wonderful gift that He has come and given to us, that He has blessed us to have, this wonderful gift of salvation that He has blessed us with through Jesus Christ. However, the thing I think we struggle most with our day and age is that last day of Art Camp that we discussed. Something that we've been discussing quite a bit, and that is purpose. How God has created purpose. He has given us purpose. He has created us with purpose. I think we struggle with this truth. Not with the truth that God has created humanity with purpose. In fact, we've talked about purpose quite a bit these past several weeks. In fact, 3 weeks ago in this very room, George gave us a wonderful message about purpose when he spoke from Ephesians 2:10. And who hasn't heard a message on Ephesians 2:10? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him. And what about the calling of Jeremiah, which was directly spoken, directly to Jeremiah, but we often lift it out of its context and make it normative for all. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to all nations. You know, and we know that God has formed us all in the womb. And that is normative, but this idea of this grand calling, this grand sweeping calling of being a prophet, you know, that is not necessarily a grand sweeping calling for all of us. that we don't have this grandiose calling as Jeremiah does, but we all do have a calling and a purpose in God's kingdom. We all have a part, as we talked about several weeks ago before we sent our missions team to Honduras. We all have a place in God's work, but we all are formed by God, as Psalms 139:13-14, as we read earlier, declares, "For you formed my inner parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." Not that we haven't all been wonderfully made. We have all been wonderfully made. Not that we're all called. We are all called. Just that not all of us are called in the same way as Jeremiah was called. We all have different callings. We all have different purposes in this life. And that's not a problem. The point is, we all do have a purpose. We all do have a calling. And who has not heard a message about Jeremiah 29:11? Also, lifted often out of its context, completely ripped out of its context, to say, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for your evil, to give you a future and a hope." Something we talked about in art camp, and we explained that even when God sends you into a timeout, even when you're being punished, because that's what was happening here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet was talking to the people of Israel as he was sending them into a long time out, into a 70-year exile into Babylon. And he tells them, "I have plans for you, plans for your welfare, not for evil, a future and a hope." Even when God was punishing his people, God had a purpose for them. God had a plan for them, even in their sinful rebellion. And even in our sinful rebellion, God makes it very clear that he's not done with us yet. That even when we completely rebelled against him, he makes it very clear that it's not too late for us to come home. That he has a plan for us. Yet in our punishment, as God sent his people into a very long timeout or detention period, as we taught the kids at art camp, God shows us that there is great purpose for them. And we've also heard it, as the kids are hearing it now upstairs, that we are created to be, in Christ Jesus, the salt and light of this world, which is found in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. I don't believe we struggle for 1 second understanding that we have a created purpose, that God created us for purpose. We understand nature being made in the image of God, as it says in Genesis 1:27, that by nature of being human, we have a great purpose. I think where we get trapped, what we get wrapped up in, what we get paralyzed with, just like we talked about 4 weeks ago when we talked about finding our place in God's work, is what is it? Have you ever wondered what your purpose in life was? What your God-given purpose was? Knowing that there had to be more than this? Understanding this was part of it? But knowing that Jesus didn't just come and die on the cross so that you'd be able to come together once a week and sing songs about him and hear a really awesome talk about him? Okay, let's be real. Sort of okay talk about him most weeks. But you knew that your life of faith was more than this, was supposed to be more than just this, a weekly Sunday event or club meeting. If so, you're right. Didn't Jesus die for more than this? He did. He totally did. And dare I say, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And if you are like many, you have found yourself asking, what then is my purpose in this life? What then is my calling? Sounds like a pretty serious question that demands a very deeply significant answer. However, does it? is it a very deep answer at all? Because sometimes I fear we often miss what God has right in front of us because we forget the very simple God-given purpose given to us as being His image bearers, as being simple humanity, and being children of God, being born again in Christ, looking for something else that's far more grandiose than that. When there's nothing better than that. Being a child of God and how great that is in itself, looking past what God has right in front of us, which truly is spectacular and grand in itself. Understanding our purpose in Christ begins right here, right now, and how we represent the kingdom of God, exactly how God has made us right now. Where He's positioned us and planted us right now. And what we do right here and right now matters eternally. The big question for us is, are we satisfied with what's right in front of us and with Him and what He has put right in front of us and given us? And let me explain. The truth of the matter is, we have all been given a great purpose. God-given purpose, kingdom-level purpose, given to us by the nature of being made in the image and likeness of God, just by being human. God created us with dominion as His image bearers, as Genesis 1:28-31 shows. And God blessed them, it says, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. We see so much about the purpose given to humanity here in these short four verses. As His image bearers, we are God's ambassadors, His representatives to the whole of the creative order. This idea of filling the earth, subduing it, having dominion over it, is to have care over it, as we were intended to care for it alongside with God, to tend it. To have dominion over it meant to rule over it alongside and with Him. We were to be co-heirs with God over the creative order of the earth. In this, we also see that we were to be in deep relationship with God in this text and in the context that surrounds this. We had a deep relationship with God. He walked with us and we walked with Him. We got to know Him. We got to know Him deeply and intimately. We were blessed to know Him. We were given great purpose in this indeed, as Adam also had a great purpose and work with God when he was tasked by God to name all the living creatures. What a wonderful gift to be given, to name God's creations. Every one of God's creations. I am sure there was awe brought on by every single thing that came by. You know, we were talking about that during art camp, whenever the parade of animals was coming by, and then the platypus came by. I mean, just, where did the name platypus come from in the first place? That's just, I always wonder that. I am sure there was awe brought on. We know there was awe, especially when the woman came by, because Adam went, whoa, man! And in this, we got to honor and glorify God. That was a great purpose. We get to honor and glorify God. That was a purpose of humanity. And when we read this passage, I also see a purpose that's often overlooked by many, the purpose of enjoyment. how God emphasized all the good seeds, the plants, the fruits for food, all of them given as food to eat. Twice is proclaimed, every one of them, part of the fulfilling and subduing and having dominion over the creation, is also the enjoyment of the fullness of the creation, of the life that is given. This enjoyment of life and this enjoyment of the one that is the giver of the life. And as verse 31 says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Not just good as every other day was. No, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day, which is why on the seventh day he rested, which is what has become known as the Sabbath day, a day of rest, but not rest as in nothing. Rest as enjoyment and relish in the fruit of the labor of the week that was. For us, we get to rest and enjoy and relish in and with him, to worship him, to love him for all the goodness he does give and bestow upon us, showing us by being human, this is our very nature and our core purpose since the beginning. It is no wonder Westminster Catechism would make this claim to explain the chief end of man, the chief end being the very purpose of man. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever, because God should just be enough. Is he enough for us to just glorify him and to enjoy him? In the beginning, God was enough. When we can just get back to the basics of the garden, we can begin to see this fully. But something keeps us from doing that. Something prevents us from doing that. Something changed. Because this didn't last as we know it. Because of the fall, because of sin, our willful disobedience toward him and the breaking of our relationship with him. And even though we still were made in the image of God, there was something about our purpose that was lost due to the fall. Because at the establishment of the Noahic, I'm very sorry, I need a minute. I just need a second. Because of the establishment of the Noahic covenant after the flood, God pronounces a similar blessing on Noah and his family that he pronounces on Adam and Eve. A very similar blessing, but there are very significant changes and things that are missing and some additional boundaries that are added. We see this in Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And it says, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and the fish of the sea. Into your hands they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be for food for you, and as I give you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat with its life, that is, its blood. For your lifeblood I will require a reckoning from every beast. I will require it, and from man, from his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. And you be fruitful and multiply. Increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it. Do you see the differences between these blessings of Adam and Eve and Noah and his family? There is a call to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth, but not to subdue and have dominion over it. We lost our relationship. We lost our partnership and our part due to the fall. Also, where is the harmony? Now there's dread due to the fall. not to mention rules and guidelines for murder due to the fall, a diminished purpose at best, as we have been separated from God, the ultimate giver of purpose, as God is the only giver, designer, and architect of life. God created us for so much more than this. God wanted us to be so much more than this. We have an innate desire within us to be so much more than this because we were made for more than this. What are we to do? How are we to get back to the way things were? Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who restored for us what our hearts truly were longing for. For through our new birth to a living hope by and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have been given once again a restored purpose as his image bearers, and furthermore, a renewed and further purpose as a redeemed child of God. To take on such an identity as a child of the God of the universe, as John proclaims in the opening words of his gospel, which acts as a resetting, I have heard it said once, so to speak, of the cosmos, as Jesus has come to do, to reset, to restore, to renew all things, as he begins to set everything that we've messed up right. And what I really want us to hear today is a resetting of our purpose. We cannot be so naive as to not hear the creative language used by John in these opening words found in John 1:1-13. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was Jesus, but it says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, who he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And as his children, we have been born again, as the scripture says. And in being born again, we have been given a wonderful purpose, a great calling, and a powerful holy mandate. And it isn't as complicated as most would make it out to be today. There is no test you need to take. There is no survey you have to fill out, no school you need to go to. There are no hours of soul searching you need to do on top of a mountain. Not that any of these things are intrinsically wrong. There's nothing wrong with those things. The reality is, though, the purpose in Christ, God-given purpose, is not hard to find at all. It simply begins with getting back to the core of humanity's purpose and avoiding all that things, that sin, that messed it all up in the beginning. It begins with getting back to the core of loving God, loving self and others, and finding enjoyment in him and enjoyment in the life that he gave us to live and living it to the full. It is found in living out the core commandments that Jesus gave us to live out, that Jesus explained in Matthew 22:35-40. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Simple but true. Could our purpose in life begin simply by knowing God, loving God, and being happy with who he is? Of course it could. The chief end of man, once again, is that. knowing him, being known by him, and just being satisfied with him and who he is, and taking that love and sharing that love with others around us. This is where purpose begins, because that is the core of your human identity. That is who he's made you to be. That is what we were created to do in the beginning. To be at peace in him and to enjoy the life he's given you. And if we can do that right there, that is what our springboard is to do everything else God has created us to do in Christ Jesus. But it begins here. If we can't get that, we're never going to get anything else. It begins with knowing him and being known by him. And my question to you, if you're looking for purpose in Christ, do you know him? Does he know you? Are you spending that time with your Father? Because if you're not, you're never going to get anything else. You've got to have that time with your Father, that intimate time. If you want help with that, I'm going to tell you, another Sunday sermon is not going to get it for you. This isn't something you can be taught from a pulpit. It's one-on-one discipleship. It's life on life. You got to learn to really dig in deep. And if you want help with that, we can get you partnered up with people that can help you with that. But you got to ask. You got to be willing, because it takes time and it takes work. But the thing is, if you don't get this, you'll never understand any further purpose in Christ, because it begins here and continues from here. It's birthed from here. Our purpose begins here, knowing him and being known by him, to grow in a deeper relationship with him. Because once again, this is the springboard of going on mission given by him to go and tell the world about him. To go and make more and better disciples. To become a better disciple ourselves. To be a people about the Great Commission. To make sure the Great Commission doesn't become the great omission in our lives. Understanding it is something we are called to do, each and every one of us. Every single one of us. How that is lived out may look differently, but we're all called to go. Therefore, and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And if you think, I can't do that, don't worry, you're not. Jesus is the one doing it through you. He's with you, empowering you, strengthening you. He promises you, he is with you. It's not you, but Christ in you. For some, it may be lending a hand in a service project during an all-church service event on August 30th. Hint, hint. For some, it may be grilling up hamburgers and hot dogs or praying for some first responders and their families on 9/11. For some, it may have been helping kids with art and craft projects this past week at art camp. For others, it may be holding babies in a nursery. For certain individuals, it may have been going to Honduras or to go to Honduras. For some, it could be stepping up to help with a weekly bread distribution here and there. Serving on a worship team, in a youth ministry, in a children's ministry, you name it. These are just things that are happening here. And there is no shortage of list of places to serve. If you're looking for something to do, we will find you something to do. I'm sure Danny, he has a list of maintenance things. Like if you're handy with a screwdriver, he will find something for you to do. I mean, we got stuff for you to do right here. There's no shortage of things that you could do to be used by the Lord for his kingdom purposes. And that's just here. But what about things beyond here? What about the things beyond the confines of the ministry scope of our sphere of influence as a family of families? What about things happening in your day-to-day life, in your comings and your goings? It may just be being willing to pray for people who look like they need prayer. When you're in the grocery line, when you're going in and out of places. It may just be willing to give words of encouragement, Bible verses, to coworkers throughout your day at work. It may simply being willing to travel around with blessing bags on your car's floorboards that with a fresh pair of socks, a granola bar, a bottle of water, maybe some other helpful things that you may be willing to hand to a homeless person you run into regularly, but not just to give it to them and run away, but give it to them and start a conversation, to start a relationship, and to actually start talking and engaging with them about Jesus. Maybe it's just to pick your phone up, actually, and text someone you haven't talked to in a long time that God's put on your heart and say, hey, how can I pray for you? Leading you to actually be more expressive about your faith to others around you. Whatever it may be, however it may be, there are so many ways that we can engage with everyday mission in our lives to others around us, and it would look differently for all of us. The point is, how would the Lord lead you to be used by Him with others around you? Leading to further transformation in your life as you seek Him more and more, live for Him more and more, and truly desire for Him to bring Him glory and honor in and through your life more and more, because you find delight in yourself by doing such things for Him. You find joy in serving the Lord. Something I just kept hearing as a constant theme last Sunday, as the Team Honduras 2026 was giving their testimony. Every person pretty much up here talked about service and how much of a joy it was to serve, it was like a broken record up here going over and over again. It was a joy to serve. Is joy a word you would use to describe your service for the kingdom of God? Or is it a begrudging obligation? Ugh, I had to do this. Oh, it's time for that again. I guess it's my turn to do this again. Or is it joy? Is it, yes, I get to do this again. Are you excited about your service to the Lord? We need to check our hearts if it's not. Because joy should be what's invoked in us when it's our time to step up and be able to go and do and serve. Because it's making eternal impact when we get to serve the Lord, whatever it may be. The point is, it begins right here. It begins right now with us being willing to say, here I am, Lord. I want to know You and be known by You, because I want to make You known. I want to be used by You and do what brings You honor and glory with my life. So use me. Are we willing to be used, though? Would we be willing to be used? No matter how, no matter where, no matter when. Not worrying about the details. Just being willing. Have you ever wondered what your purpose in life was? What your God-given purpose was? Knowing it was more than just this. More than just a Sunday event. If you were, you're right. It totally is. It's meant to be, but it's not complicated. And it totally begins. It just totally begins with that, just knowing Him, resting in that knowing of Him and being delighted in knowing Him and being known by Him. Because when you can get that right, it naturally flows in wanting to make Him known and go out and make those disciples. And then when you do that, it goes into that producing of lasting fruit and good works. It goes into that wanting to serve Him, wanting to honor Him, wanting to glorify Him in everything you say and do. When you return to the basics as restored humanity, as a renewed child of God, the rest of it takes place. Your entire life will fall into order, and you won't be questioning your purpose anymore, because God will make your purpose clear to you. It'll just become natural as part of your day-to-day life. You won't have to ever wonder again. It'll just be what you do. It'll be who you are, because it'll be who He created you to be. Your purpose will be your identity as a child of God. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen and amen.